Hello and welcome to another episode of the Afroverse with me, Hope Ajir. Today's topic is not only something that I'm very passionate about, but it's something I have personally experienced firsthand. And it's none other than the fact that people have moved back home to Africa from being in the diaspora. And so when they do that, how do they feel? What do they experience? And what are some of the expectations versus the reality that they find after making such a big, drastic decision? Some context for those of you who might not be aware of my entire story. I moved back home to Kenya after being in the US for about 4 years and South Africa for about 2 years. So cumulatively with a gap year in there, I was essentially abroad for like 7 years. And I am a Kenyan citizen, although I'm also Sudanese and etc. But moving back home to Kenya, which happened last year in June, so that's June of 2022. Let me just tell you, I don't think I can even properly summarize how I feel right now, because I think I'm still going through the adjustment period. I'm still going through the things, I'm still in the thick of it, let's just be frank. And I think it's primarily because of, number one, the expectations versus the reality I got. And number two, just the way things are in Kenya. Like if you want to move into your house in a month, my friend, allocate 3 months minimum. So in part, I think there's been many delays and many systematic, you know, things that have happened that I just couldn't control. And so it is what it is. And you know how I know I'm starting to slowly adjust back to Kenya? It's because I always say that survival comes before self-expression. And I feel like now I can get to a point where I'm able to go back to my expression version of me in this Nairobi, because I think I was just heavily and violently surviving for quite a while. And now I'm able to go back to YouTube, to the podcast. I'm able to sort of be my creative self again, because I think for the past almost 9 months, I've just been adjusting. Right now, it's almost April of 2023. And honestly, I feel like the adjustment is mostly just in terms of finances, number one. Number two, social life. Oh my God, we'll dive into this later. And then after that, I think the other adjustment thing is just the environment. I'm sure you've heard of culture shock. And so there's obviously the idea of reverse culture shock, because I'm used to things going a certain way. And then I move abroad. Then I get kind of adapted to that area. Then I come back and then I just pull a whole remix on myself. And then before I know it, I am trying to figure out my balance of, okay, regardless of where I am, what are some basics that I absolutely have to maintain? And so that's sort of what I've had to learn. I took care to ask on Instagram what specific things you guys wanted to know about my experience moving back, and I will also dive into that. I didn't know that people who've moved back are actually called repats. It feels odd, repat. I don't feel like it has the gusto that expat has, you know. I don't feel like it has the spice, but we'll move past it for now. I would definitely consider myself a repat. And it's interesting because I feel like people who move abroad and then come back, especially academics, especially people who are trying to be students, I love it, because what was supposed to be, you know, brain drain is now coming back home. And the thing you went to invest in, which is your education, you're coming to utilize it in low-key the place that needs it the most. I was thinking about how 2019 was marked as the year of the return, and how the Ghanaian president had essentially marked it as a year of return for diasporans to Accra, Ghana. And I remember that sparking such huge levels of controversy for no reason. And it was a huge point of debate, like, what does it mean to return? And how do we also explore the idea of returning to Africa for people who are not citizens of Africa, like African Americans or Afro-Latinas or, I don't know, any other group of diasporan Africans who are not citizens of African countries. One thing I've also realized is the fact that not only are Africans moving back home, but I feel like the expat community is seriously growing, like violently growing. And how I know this is the amount of Muzungus I now see on Boda Bodas. Listen, bless their hearts. We love to see a metropolitan city. I know we love it, especially in Nairobi. But the way I've seen Muzungus on Bodas with their own helmets going to buy nyanyas at Quick Mart. And if you don't understand literally all of these references, essentially, to see people who are not native to Kenya coming back and the way they live like they're just a Kenyan, I think by the time expats start living as if they're a native, it shows you just how many they are and how long perhaps they've been here for. I remember seeing around on TikTok about how a lot of people are choosing to work from home, in quotes, in a different country, and specifically in an African country. Obviously, there's low cost of living, there's affordable labor. Like, if you're a mother, it's much easier to have nannies here. If you are, let me just say, if you're a parent, you know, it's much easier to just delegate duties to other people without suffering, like in the US, like with insurance or daycare or perhaps even hiring a personal assistant. It's just 1,000 times cheaper here. The reason I wanted to talk about that is because it's just interesting to see that I feel like Africa was this place that people were scrambling to get out of for such a long time. And then now, I know, especially with the Kenyan situation, a lot of people are not only moving back, but a lot of people who are not Kenyan, who have primarily lived outside of Kenya, specifically in the Western world, that they are coming to now look for money here. Like, a lot of startups are honestly run by Westerners, and a lot of businesses are being started by people who are just not Kenyan, and they're specifically just not African. And so it's very interesting to see it, because I think it brings up the conversation of, is the new is the new land of greener pasture going to be African countries, like, in the future? Maybe because we just don't have as much pollution or overpopulation. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely a rise in the trend of people coming to work here. I did an episode around this time last year, which I will put in the description box. I asked people, basically, so would you rather live abroad or would you rather live in Africa? One of the biggest things that was brought up is money. Like, money is, you know, a huge driver of society right now, or at the very least, mobility. And so money was such a huge thing. And I remember other people saying they'd rather come back home to Africa because it's essentially cheaper to run a business or things like that. Another reason some people cited having to go abroad is to basically have better systems or just have a better lifestyle. I can imagine it's very nice to have a bus at a bus station arrive exactly on time. I remember it from the US, but the way I've come to Kenya, that is not even a concept that exists for me to now compare, you know. So I can't even go there. But I remember systems being another thing that was cited. And then, of course, career growth. I know some people have reached the ceiling in Kenya and then they just want to go work for a different company. And so essentially they are not necessarily economic refugees, but they're expats. And then now moving back to Africa, a lot of people, number one was weather. Weather. I think sunshine is one of the most important things, and it's one of those things where you just don't know until you don't have it. It's kind of like water and sleep and dry socks, I guess. So one of those things that was mentioned about the weather is the fact that there's seasonal depression in areas that typically experience harsh winters. Like, let's say for me, I was in Indiana, and I swear the sun only popped out like 3 months of the year. And when I mean popped out, not that you're seeing it and you can't feel it. I mean, it's there with you to stay and you can feel the heat in your bones. I know that's one of the reasons I moved back. Another reason that people cited coming back is community. A lot of Western countries and a lot of cities, let me put it that way, are really built around the individual, and a lot of things are set up for you not to have to interact with human beings, almost to a point where interacting with a human being feels inconveniencing. And I remember that kind of rubbing off on me. Like, if an Uber guy spoke to me in the US, I used to feel like my rights are just being violated, you know. And then now here in Kenya, if an Uber guy is speaking to me, I think, number one, we're probably commenting on something we just saw on the road. There's a huge element of just getting to know each other, and you should know each other. I mean, you're taking part in a trip together for a specific amount of time. And so I think the cultural norms are just different, and that sort of trickles into the community or the sense of community you have. And I think even in the US, specifically in my experience, there were things that used to help, like, build community. Like, they have so many more parks or things like that. But it's so hard to experience them because half of the time you have to be in the house for you to feel any semblance of warmth because of how cold it is. Now, for me, why did I move back? I mentioned it in a YouTube video I did on my personal channel. I cited a few reasons as to why I moved back. Number one being I had lost a friend to very, very just deeply problematic circumstances. I think that had a lot to do with where he was working. And I'm not entirely sure. It's just one of those things that when someone passes away, you can never really know why they went. And so I'm starting to try and make peace with it. But at the time when I heard about the news, the biggest thing that it triggered in me was that if I had gone, like, in the US, at that time I was about to graduate, I'd gotten a job offer from a tech company, and it was Uber, and it was really paying well. But I was just about to, like, graduate and, you know, make the whole move. But something inside me told me, like, I will be so unhappy. Like, I'm just joking. Who am I kidding? Like, I could see, you know, when you can just tell in advance how sad you'll be. And I think it's because I needed a break, number one. And number two, I don't think I really wanted to work in that environment. I think I am a hustler, number one. I'm also a huge people person. And I'm not really into the corporate culture. I really wanted to be someone in the creative world. And I think because of my experience or where I wasn't interested in starting it in the US. You know, like, the typical route is to go to LA or go to New York and just try and figure it out, become, I don't know, do a waitressing job and try to make ends meet, because those cities are really expensive. I think for me, what happened is I already had pre-existing ties to the professional creative scene here in Kenya. So I think I just saw my future more. And I remember just feeling so sad, as in I couldn't even believe it. I felt like I had summoned myself to go somewhere I didn't want to go, and now it's like this back and forth for, I don't want to go. No, but you have to go. So this parental relationship I had with myself, it reached a point when he passed away where I was just like, okay, if that wasn't a thing, like, if you didn't have to do something, where would you go? Like, if circumstances happened and you passed away right now, well, what would you do with your life? Like, what's the change you'd want to make, given the resources you're working with? And I told myself, Wachatu, let me go to Kenya, let me take all those big risks now when I still have age to sort of justify, you know, the way you can do something, knowing damn well in the future you'll say, no, I was just being young. And so maybe that's what... And so I think that that's a huge driver of why I also did this, because I knew this is not the time to, you know, settle down too soon. And unless it's, you know, unless it works extremely well for me, it's just not the time to make certain compromises. This is the time to demand the most out of the world. Not necessarily because I'm entitled to it, but because this is the only time I have time. Later on, I even talked about it in the YouTube video. Like, later on when you have, as I said, a mortgage and three kids, which is a blessing, but, you know, it still tethers you to a specific area or to specific people. So right now I'm really untethered. I'm just a free floating atom. That was number one. Yeah, the huge loss led to serious reflections about my life and where I was going. And because the person who I lost was almost exactly like me in age. I think he was just born like 2 months older than me. His death hit even harder because it felt like we had so many parallels in our life. And knowing how, if I had gone in that moment, I would just have been so unhappy, knowing damn well I was going to make a decision that didn't work for me. Mm-mm. And you know the alternative, because I was going to move to Chicago, the alternative was to go to now the sunnier parts, or maybe parts that are like more conducive to my spirit in the US, like, let's say, California, or I don't know. And I considered it for a hot minute, but I also felt like I think I needed to be home. Like, I just needed some semblance of home. I needed to talk like a Kenyan. I needed to laugh like a Kenyan, to dance like one, and I needed to do biashara. I needed to do business. And for me, I'm huge on business and entrepreneurship. I just felt like that was just not the place to go start the type of businesses I wanted to start, which luckily I've managed to start one of the many businesses I wanted to start. Another reason that I wanted to move back was the weather, of course, and I think I had suffered from a lot of seasonal depression. Like, there were so many moments where I could see myself just turning into someone who wants to just stay in bed all day. And you know how I knew? It's because the darker the clouds, the more I wanted to stay in bed. And I feel like it's because of how not only am I used to warmer weather, but I think I am used to, I think I'm an extrovert to a point where I need crowds, I need to see people, I need to feel, I just need to hear chatter in the background. And you know, with winter it's really hard to see people, especially when it's not a classroom or a dining hall. And I know for you introverts, I mean, I think you, if you're an introvert, I think you'd actually do very well during winter, because essentially you don't have to see people. And when you do see people, it's extremely intentional or extremely essential. One of the other reasons I moved back home is because I think my content creation had started taking off and I'd started getting paid, and I just didn't see a reason as to why I should make, you know, content about Africa or about life, and like why I have to be specifically in the US. I just felt like I was going to live in the most expensive house possible when my salary is the same. And so I figured, let me just go to Kenya where I can be able to network with creatives that I actually want to network with. And let me go create content at a place where I'm more comfortable and confident. I felt like I am the most goddess version of me in Nairobi. Like, I'm the most, you know, superstar. And not necessarily to do with the industry, but to do with my, the way I was moving, the way I move in Nairobi versus the way I was moving in Indiana. Wait, those are two different people. I think it's because my soul just wasn't alive as much. And not only do I feel like that about Nairobi, but I feel like it's a thing about being in Africa. I think I, like right now, I'm really planning to go to Kigali. I want to go to Lagos. I want to go to Khartoum. I want to go to Cape Town. I want to go to so many places. Oh my God, Accra. And I think a huge driver of this is because I just like being in different African cultures and just exploring that. Even before I go now, explore, you know, Italy, I feel like I first have to explore my base. I moved back, and at first I was so happy. I think I had like a honeymoon phase. I was so happy, as in you couldn't even tell me anything. And then I remember the first few, because I had stayed in Kenya like up to 3 months because of summer. I think those first 3 months were very similar to how I usually am when I'm a summer bunny and I'm just spending money that I low-key don't have, and I'm wearing all the new clothes and I'm going to see everyone. And then after 3 months, sasa you have to pay rent. Now you have to look for mama kufua, someone to wash your clothes. And then before you know it, you also need to now start budgeting, and you need to start budgeting for your clothes as well, because the weather here, we have extremely rainy or extremely sunny. And so you can't just go wearing everything as if you're, you know, living la vida loca. The honeymoon phase came to a crashing end. And how I know this is, I wanted to move into my house in July. I ended up moving in October. Let's start there first of all. It took so long. So many things just led to it taking long. And I remember when I moved in, I think I had another honeymoon stage with, you know, having my own place and having, you know, such close proximity to my family. I think I was in heaven, honestly. I think slowly by slowly, what is it that started happening? Yes, number one, trying to get gigs like with brands and partnerships here in Nairobi, I realized there brands are approaching, and especially between October to December, it was almost overwhelming how many brands I had to work with. I even ended up dropping one, although that had a lot to do with the agency. I had to like really, and I struggled to balance all of the work. It was really good. But then I realized, number one, it takes extremely long to get your check. I don't know if it has anything to do with Kenya, but that 30 to 90 day payment period, wow, it actually physically hurts. Then the second thing is I realized when working with US-based brands that when you give your rate, first of all, people will say, okay, it's a bit higher than our budget. This is our budget. First of all, in Kenya, it's like you're in the market. My God. When giving my rate, I'm asked, hey, Hope, what's your rate? Then I say, no, you guys tell me your budget and the scope of work so that I see if it matches. And then sometimes it depends on the brand. So I can't have like a blanket rate for everyone because of the level of work that's needed. And the pressure, sometimes you have more pressure to deliver for a bigger brand to your audience than for a smaller brand. There's just more pressure. So you just account for it. First of all, I think it reached a point where someone legit told me, no, you need to price lower. And the guy basically, he was for a brand and he told me that he would love to pay me less just to teach me a lesson about how the Kenyan industry is. Where do you take someone like that? And even you, after that, where do you take yourself? Because I get that the Kenyan market is a bit smaller, and I get it, but I think that there's a lot of haggling, like not even negotiation. It's like, hey, how do I say it? The negotiating is almost... sometimes it feels mean. And so that was a lot to get used to, because I think I also realized that Americans are very diplomatic. They won't tell you, pass me the water. They tell you, hi, would you be okay handing that glass of water to me? Or, hey, did you want to maybe pass the water to me? And at first I really hated it, because I used to just be like, I don't like cryptic language. Then I come to Kenya where you're just told you pass the water. How can you see I need water and you're not passing it? So people are much more crass here and blunt. And when it comes to business, especially as a content creator, it's kind of hard to advocate for your actual worth and to deal with brand partnerships. But I managed to get through it. I think that's the first thing that burst my bubble. And then the second thing that burst my bubble is it started hitting me how much money I could have been making versus how much money I actually was making. Let me tell you, if you want to move back, that's okay. But let me just prepare yourself. Just prepare your soul, because the same way the cost of living is much less here, it's the same way the income potential is just much less here. A gig that I would have done in the US for like one reel, I think I earn like 10 times less with a Kenyan brand for literally the same scope of work. And I don't know why, but I think that's how the market is set. And it takes adjusting. And it reached a point where I was like, all these dreams and hopes I have, all those mansions I want to build, you're telling me I might not be able to do it with the way I've been earning money. Because in the US, when I was making projections, I was just like, yeah, I bet I'll have that extra $3,000. Because especially like for me, I was a hustler. So I even used to braid hair on the side. I used to do things for cash. And now in Kenya, hey, it's just I can do so much, but what I earn from it is much less. Then that led me to, which I've not mentioned before on literally any platform, that led me to start a business so that I can sort of increase my streams of income. And the business I started, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. But because it's a startup, which has a lot more demand than supply, sometimes it's a struggle because I struggle to manage it with content creation. If you've ever noticed me going quiet, if you're someone who actually follows me and interacts with me, if you've ever noticed this points when I've gone like point just blank on my, you know, social media pages. And it's probably because I'm trying to manage something staff related or product related on the other side, on the other business side. And so I think if you want to come back home, be prepared to have at least two streams of income, because I think a primary source of income might let you down in terms of what you're used to earning. versus what you're now earning. The business I started has really helped, but it takes a lot of time, energy, and it also takes dealing with a lot of, not, leave character development. It takes dealing with psychological warfare with some people I have to employ just because of the nature of the industry. And so while I don't want to disclose so much about it because I want that business to perform by itself, I feel like starting a business is one of the best decisions I ever made. Coming back home, and it's very, I think it's very divine, because one of the reasons I wanted to come back home was to start a business and to do the type of business I wanted to start. And it's happened, and it happened very quickly, and it took off very quickly as well. It performed very well from even the first month, but it has a lot of requirements that sometimes are hard to keep up with when trying to balance content. And then the final thing I wanted to mention about my experience moving back, it's the community or lack thereof. There's this thing I studied economics, and in school I remember reading about how really tight-knit communities come with lots of comfort but lots of shame, and then really individualistic communities come with a lot of discomfort but tons of freedom and independence, and there's virtually no shame. So for example, you could look at Nairobi versus a village in Kenya, let's say in Ugunja. People know each other. Like the kiosk guy, the guy who sells tomatoes, or I don't know, who sells beds, he kind of knows you and where you live, and not only about you but also your clan, and they know about your family and their heritage. And maybe if you guys was, you know, perpetually known for, I don't know, being allergic to potatoes, it kind of just lives on in the village. Versus in Nairobi, where, I mean, you can literally go like even a year without knowing your neighbors. And so that's kind of the lens that I want you to think of when I'm telling this aspect of my adjustment. Sindo. So moving back, I think there's a lot of community, but I think the individualism that I was trying to run away from still exists in Nairobi. And if you also think of the fact that, you know, as a creative, as a content creator, and as an entrepreneur in terms of my other business, I really don't have colleagues. And with my other business, it's mostly employees. But I don't have like this office I go to every day, see the same 12 people, and Marianne from HR always comes at lunchtime to ask me to go with her to some kibanda for us to go just deal with, I don't know, Chapo and Dengo. I don't have that. I'm mostly in my house, in this room, recording content. And when I'm doing my business, I'm mostly working on social media. I'm mostly working on my invoicing platforms or whatever admin platforms I'm using. And I'm mostly working at the various locations that I've set up, but I can't be there every day. And the employees definitely don't add up to 12. Now that makes it very hard to get to know people in Nairobi, because I left 7 years ago, essentially, and that's between the ages of 18 to 25, 26, huko. So my prime friend-making years were honestly used up abroad, and the people who I made friends with, like, between the ages of 14 to 18, as you can imagine how much, like, we've really just outgrown each other. So with that, I feel like it's just harder to make friends now. Like, I think it was easier to make friends in the US because I had schoolmates, I had fellow Africans, and I think there were just so many other avenues of making friends. Versus here where, watch out too. There's this comedian I was speaking to because I love the stand-up community here. I love the stand-up comedian community here. And I think those are the closest things I could say that, yeah, I would be willing to try and go make friends there. And I remember my first day ever trying to attend a workshop. One amazing comedian, he knew about my journey, and he told me about how his wife had studied abroad, and that when she came, not studied abroad, but either way, when she came to Kenya, she had a lot of struggle for like 2 years to, number one, make friends or rekindle or to maintain friendships. And I think that happened in February, and this is after I've moved back, you know, June, July. So that entire time, I had not heard it outside of my brain how hard it is to make friends. And it's not even about making friends, because I think I can find someone to vibe with, and then we just, you know, maybe go out or we have lunch. I can find that. But I'm talking about the type of friends who are like your soulmates, you know, the people who you could make the godparents to your children, or the people who know how you deeply feel and about, you know, what has happened during your day. And right now I very heavily depend on my family, but I think there's a certain type of support that you can get from platonic relationships that are just, it's therapeutic. And I think it's one of the things I need to be even more alive, you know, just like the sunshine. I feel like people who I love, who are friends, I need that. And I had that a lot. So maintaining those long distance friendships have been, you know, oh my God, they've just been extremely strenuous because of time zone differences, because of life happening. You find yourselves just narrating your lives to each other as if it's a movie, because there's no way they know any context that you're working with. So on one end, the long distance friendships are very hard to maintain. And on the other end, like being here in Nairobi, I feel like even just being in Nairobi, even if you've lived here your whole life, I think periods of loneliness are inevitable. So I think now when you've come back here as someone who's not as outgoing, because I think I'm outspoken, I don't think I'm as outgoing. And with that, yeah, it can be a bit lonely. And I remember him talking about how it took his wife 2 years. I could say it's almost 9 months, but I have absolutely no social circle here yet. But I'm hopeful. I trust in my ability to make friends and to keep them. So I'm just going to trust that the universe will just give me what I need when it's the right time. And for now, in the meantime, I'm happy with the colleagues that I have in the creative industry. And I'm happy with the people who I work with for my business, because they're really nice and they're really awesome. As I now start to tell you my version, I also asked people online to essentially describe to me what their experience has been like. And much as I didn't get as many responses as I hoped, I think the very few that I have are very valuable. The first person you're going to hear from is called Doug Mutai, who is an amazing comedian in this Nairobi of ours. He did stand-up in Canada after living there for a while. And then he moved back home, and I think him and a few other people have single-handedly created the comedy scene in Nairobi. And when I mean comedy, I mean like stand-up comedy scene. His responses are interesting, and let me just play them for you, and then we can discuss, yeah?
Hey, why did I move back? You know, the question about moving back to Kenya is one of those questions that really used to irk me for a while, because it was like, okay, this is home for me. Why do I have to explain myself that I'm moving back to Kenya? But people, you ask, but of course, I get the context why it's asked like that. And I guess the long and short answer of why did I move back is my time, that is my visa there, ended. My time for staying there ended. All the paperwork I could. Ilikuwa imefika mwisho, so it was just time to move back, and I couldn't renew any other thing. Plus, I also, you can't just claim a permanent resident status. You have to sacrifice your blood or some shit to get it. So I just figured it was just time to move back. It was a sign that I needed to move. But also, on the other hand, I'll be not honest if I don't say. I'll be dishonest if I don't say that I there was intentions of staying abroad for a while, but every time I'd come for, say, holiday or whatever to visit, there was something different. Like, there was something more hopeful than when I left. You know, the first time you leave Kenya, you're hearing there's a lot of disillusionment, and then when you're coming back, there's a lot more to look forward to. So it was just one of those leaps that I decided to do. Everybody got into that. Everybody that I know has moved back thought, hey, it's gonna just be plug and play, you know, I just carry on like I haven't been away. But there's gonna be the reality is there is a bit of an uphill readjusting. Even the things that you thought, oh, of course I know, I'm aware of them, you have to readjust for them when you come back. even in terms of work and having an income, it's not as straightforward as when you're on holiday, right? It's fun times and summer bunning and all that crap. Now it's okay, you gotta work as well, you're not gonna sleep in, and things don't work as they look. So that's one of the, I think, the expectations is, if you're gonna move back, be ready for adjustments. Be ready to put in some work to get dirty, to get into spaces you didn't think you would get into. So, but it's all fun, I guess. It's all part of the game, I guess. Not fun, but it's okay. It's not bad. It's never shy away from a challenge, I guess. In terms of misconceptions as well, sometimes when you're thinking you're moving back home, it's just gonna be straight, yeah, I'm just moving back. But the misconception is, you don't realize that the ties you've made, on the other hand, across the pond, are gonna hold, but they do. And there's a bit of, again, not just adjustment, but it's actually tough. It can be tough. You have now family and friends who you leave behind. You're gonna miss those people. And that's one of the things that I miss about that is, of course, plus working systems. I miss that. I miss being in a place where people are just, things work faster. But now I'm used to this as well. I can work with this, all right? But yeah.
He's mentioned two things that I really relate with, and I've mentioned here, is the systems that, sometimes, honestly, I miss Amazon. Let's just start there. And then there's the other thing of the social fabric here. It's different. You kind of have to readjust, and the home you're going to is not the home you left, and so you have to better hope that the home you're going to is similar to what you'd like. It's similar to an ideal environment. And so I also asked Doug if he regrets this decision, if going back he would have done it.
Would I make the same decision? I'd say yes and no. You know, there, with a bit more preparation, maybe some things I could have avoided, you know, some relationships I would not have lost out on, because, you know, when you move back, you realize it almost feels as permanent as when you move away. You know, the moment you get there, you realize you have to stay there, or when you move back here, you have to stay here. There's a reason why people don't just travel every day, unless for work. So I think ultimately I would make the same decision, but I would adjust some of the things that led to that decision, you know. Better control of it, you know, do a better job, make it a bit cleaner cut, you know, and I know there are ways that in hindsight I see I could have found a way to make it a bit more clean, a clean break. But yeah, definitely, ultimately, I don't think I've had any real regrets with what I was caught up with. Of course, my losses about it are my personal losses, but yeah, but ultimately it's the best decision
What he also says is very important, because you need to prepare. You need to, number one, prepare finances. And if you don't do that, you'd be very shocked about how, you know, either way, if you've saved enough, you still need to ask yourself how you'll be able to earn an income here. Because there's nothing more painful than seeing those numbers just going down, rent by rent, going down. And so, yeah, that's one thing I would heavily, heavily relate to. But in terms of planning as well, one thing I regret is whenever I would come back to Kenya to visit, I wasn't so intentional about building a community or getting to meet people. If anything, I would just come, and because I miss my family so much, they'd be the only ones I'd hang out with. And then by the end of the trip, I'm missing my friends. So I'm going back to school now to reunite with my friends. What I would have done was I would have tried as much as possible to create a community here that I can also call my support system. So I would have tried harder to make friends. And I think one subtle thing that you don't realize you need to prepare for is the community you're going back into. Even if you're an introvert, you still need someone to be able to guide you on how to apply for the new type of driver's license. So especially in Kenya. I don't know how it is with other African countries. So I'm so happy that we got a response to a young lady who moved back to Malawi after being abroad. And here is what she had to say.
So I've only been here for a week. I'm really not sure if it'll still count, if my input will still be valid. But there's just so much that is different from when you're outside, especially if you're in a place where there's comfort and what else? Just comfort and a lot of stuff that you're used to, and coming to a place where it's your home and at the same time it's like still new to you. You're still learning, you know, your way around the place, and yet that's your home, right? My experience so far has been mind-blowing, because when we arrived, and also the timing was bad, not necessarily bad, but the timing also wasn't as great because there's the whole cyclone situation. And yeah, imagine coming home to blackouts. But besides that's besides the point, because the biggest culture shock for me personally is the language and having to explain to people that, you know, I'm not from here. So far I've not been explaining to people, because I'm told that I should just say I went to a private school. But it's so different life there, where there was comfort, compared to now here where it's a shift, if that makes sense.
So just something to keep in mind as we listen to her is also that she moved to Malawi from Botswana. So you'll hear her referencing that. And so just know that I don't think she's moved to Malawi permanently, but she wants to establish herself in Malawi as her homeland, instead of living outside and just saying, you know, I'm from Malawi. So yeah, just something to keep in mind.
Like where I grew up, I was used to the life there in Botswana, because things there were in the best interest of the citizens. However, even immigrants, you know, there was just a bit of ease of, you know, living, or at least for me, and there was a certain level of comfort. And getting out of that space into now coming to your home, knowing that back home is not as great, like the living conditions, even outside of, you know, money, is not as, you know, is not on equal standing with the one back where I grew up. I complain a lot, so it's just so hard. So yeah. So I actually, before I left, it was something that I also had to mentally prepare myself for. But the fact that I'm now here, it's a thing of having to really get it into my head that, yo, you decided to mentally prepare yourself, so this is the mentally preparation that you have to be using. But to conclude, outside of my thoughts and feelings and complaints, more than once I complain about every single thing, but it's something that I know that it's something that you can get used to. Do I plan on staying here? I would like to say yes, because at the end of the day, home is where we should all circle back to. So yeah, I think that is yes.
And so with that as her response, I think it's interesting to see the thing of that home should always be something you circle back to. And I feel like it should be ideally, but it's also, I feel like the more I spend time here, the more I realize how some people, imagine you're just better off not being where you feel uncomfortable. Like maybe if it's because of your sexuality or religion, or maybe if it's because of the society, just the way it's set up, maybe it just doesn't work for you. So one thing that also coming home has made me realize is that ideally home should be your final destination. But I now see why some people choose to stay away forever. And I've gotten time, and I've gotten opportunities to now come to respect that, because I don't think I had that before. Before, I was just so deprived of home that I felt like everyone was running away from the same home I wanted to go back to. And now I realize that everyone has very different perspectives of where they come from, and everyone has extremely different needs about where they should be staying. And so long as you're able to satisfy that, I think you should be able to make the best decision for yourself. And I think it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of stability to be able to explore that. And I think things like money and people will be able to determine where you go, if I'm being honest. And it will also determine how long you stay there for. So as I wrap this up, I feel like both for Doug and for her, I feel like both of them have experienced a lot. And I think coming back home for her during the cyclone and her still being like, it's mind-blowing and it's nice, it just shows you, if it's the place that you feel most comfortable in, you're going to literally look over a cyclone. Like, you're going to disregard that, and you're going to acknowledge the pain that comes with it, but it won't stop you. But I've realized that for some people, honestly, they probably wouldn't make the decision, and they wouldn't make it this way. The older I get, the more I also realize that while I am very, very passionate about staying in Kenya and living here, I think I would do what she is suggesting, where you make here your homeland, and then you essentially work from here as your central point, and then you live maybe 1 year, 2 year in different countries. I don't mind doing that. Also, having stayed here, I've been able to isolate what it is exactly I was trying to come back to, and I've realized weather is actually like 60% of what I was trying to come back to in Kenya. And if I can get really great weather and be able to interact with Africans and be able to cook my pilau when I want to and how I want to, I think I can be able to consider moving away again, but not forever. I think I still want to come and live here eventually. I also managed to ask people what it is exactly they wanted to know about my experience, and these are some of the questions they had. What had you like, enyewe, I'm back? Like, what's the thing that made you realize, yep, we're back home? I think for me, it's seeing shisha everywhere. Nairobi is just one big hookah bar. Another thing that made me realize I'm back is just how affordable food is and how easily accessible fruits and veggies are. Like, it's literally in a shop outside your gate in your house. So buying groceries was one of the most therapeutic things coming back. Right now, it's like, it's even inconveniencing trying to buy groceries. But when I moved back, wow, you'd have thought I was in Eat, Pray, Love. The way I was picking vegetables, just feeling like I'm in the motherland, you know? Hey, that, it was a beautiful experience. But yeah, seeing shisha everywhere, it is well. Someone asked here, did you experience reverse culture shock, so to speak? Yes, I did. I don't like the way that Kenyans are when lining up, because I don't think there's any personal space. When I was in the US, people would really keep their distance, almost to a point where I would be offended. But I think in Kenya, it's the reverse. There's like, I can't call it crowded. It's just people are all up on each other, especially when lining up. That's the one thing. And then the other thing that gave me reverse culture shock was how blunt Kenyans are compared to Americans' very corporate, cryptic way of talking. And I've referred to it about that thing for water. Like that, okay, I usually tell my mom that the way Americans talk is by always adding maybe, could be, would be, should be. They always just suggest something that is actually a non-negotiable to them, if you look at it literally. Whereas Kenyans, they'll just say, ebus, you move, you know? Whereas I think Americans would typically say, hey, would you mind getting out of the way? Or, hey, did you want to step aside so that I could pass? Which, as a Kenyan, it doesn't make sense to me. But now coming back to Kenya, even the bluntness doesn't make sense to me. I'm just so perpetually offended. Why? Someone else asked here, what challenges did you face trying to settle back in? I think the biggest challenge I faced was socially. And then the second challenge I faced was income. Just trying to secure my bag in a sustainable way. Because much as it's much cheaper here in Kenya, I think I'm used to seeing certain numbers in my bank account. And so trying to catch up with that has been extremely and violently ghetto. But as I mentioned, the business I started has helped a lot. And I think I'll also go through an episode about that, about trying to start a business as an African and how it is, just the hustle culture and sort of what we go through, especially in terms of the fact that we all low-key have at least one job. That's my time today, so those are the questions I've been able to go through. But if you'd like to share any opinions that might potentially turn into new episodes, please message the Afroverse Show at Afroverse Show on Instagram. And if you have any suggestions of topics, or if you'd like to share your story with me, please also reach out on there so that I can be able to have a beautiful chit-chat with you and hopefully learn about your story that can help capture something that someone else might be going through in Africa or the diaspora. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. You've been with me, Hope Hajir. And until next time, bye-bye.